Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. And we who are alive and remain will be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. Friends, this is our memory text for this week's lesson study, which is lesson number 10, which is entitled Spiritualism Exposed. But before we open with prayer and get into our study here today, I'd like to take advantage of, or invite you to take advantage of a free gift offer that we have, which is entitled Spirits of the Dead, written by the founder of Amazing Facts International, which is Joe Cruz. And if you are in North America or any of its territory, American territories, as you say, all you have to do is dial 1-866-788-3966. Again, that's 1-866-788-3966, and we will be happy to send out a free copy of this very helpful booklet. Now, if you have a cell phone and you are in the United States, you can also download a digital copy of this for free as well. All you have to do is put in the code SH157 in your message. Again, that's SH157, and you want to text that to the number 40544, and you'll be able to access that digital copy. Now, if you are outside the United States and Canada, you would still like to get a copy of this. You have access to the internet. All you need to do is go to the website, which is study.aftv, that's an acronym for Amazing Facts Television, .org/SH157, and you'll be able to access a free digital download for that as well. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you so much for each and every friend that is watching here today. I thank you so much that they have been able to tune in or find us on the internet, that they might be able to find themselves studying this important subject, opening their Bible, opening their heart and their mind to the truth that you desire to bring to them. Please bless them, bless this session. In Jesus' name we pray, God. Amen. Knowing the truth on this subject is just so vital on a number of different levels, and we're going to discuss that along the way as we make our way through this week's lesson study. But the first important question that we want to ask is directly related to the title of this week's lesson, Spiritualism Exposed, and that is the question, what is spiritualism? Now, I had to confess that there was a time when I had to actually go to the dictionary and look that up, and as I did so, as you just Google it today, of course, it's just so easy. All you need to do is go to Google it, and the Oxford Languages or Dictionary will give us a fitting and helpful definition. And that definition says a system or belief or a system of belief or religious practice based on supposed communication with the spirits of the dead, especially through mediums. And so this is what we could say is the generally accepted definition across the English language. And of course, to be able to accept and believe in spiritualism, it requires for us to also believe that when we breathe our last breath, when our heart beats its last beat, when our brain cells stop firing off and developing thoughts and taking in the environment around us, that once we die, we don't actually die. But instead, we continue on in an invisible conscious existence, and we just continue to exist in a different form, a much, quote, freer and, of course, less visible form as well. And so the question that we need to ask in regards to spiritualism and the beliefs that are required to accept and practice spiritualism is, when did this concept and belief first introduce itself in human history? In other words, where was it conceived? Where was its origins found? Well, we don't have to go far into the Bible. All we need to do is go to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 4, just the third chapter of the Bible. We find ourselves in the midst of a conversation that's taking place between, Eve and a serpent in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And it says this, it says, the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. Now, the million-dollar question is, was this the truth? Was the serpent telling the truth? Well, if we go to Genesis chapter 2, earlier on, before this conversation took place, we find here that God does not agree. He believes in, presents something much different. He says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And so God here is very clearly telling us that he disagrees with the serpent. The serpent says, you will not surely die. God comes along and says, no, you will surely die. And not only that, but then after the serpent had sold that concept to the mother of all living, Eve herself, and after she had talked her newfound husband into also eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God then proceeded to have a conversation both with the serpent, with Adam, and then with Eve. And as he did that, as he was talking to Adam, the father of the human race, we find here that God basically says in different words, he says, remember back before you ate of the tree when I say that the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die? I kind of meant it. And so he shared that bad news and he revisited again. And so he says to Adam, and of course in earshot of Eve, he says, in the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground, for out of it you are taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. And so God revisits it and says, you know what? Between the two of us, that is God and the serpent, I actually was the one that was telling the real truth. And of course, even though Adam and Eve didn't die that day, certainly they began to die, even as science tells us, that from the moment we were born, we actually begin to die. We begin to deteriorate. And of course, you don't start noticing it until you're 20, 30, or 40 years old. But science tells us, hey, listen, it started far before you're 40. You're just starting to become more aware of it now, and some of the symptoms are as they become more obvious. And so we all age. And Adam and Eve began to die that day as well. And by God's grace, he gave them time to repent and to reconcile with the maker of the universe, with their conscience, and give their loyalty back to God and to trust him by faith again. And the Bible record tells us, gives us more than enough evidence to tell us that indeed that is the choice that they made. And so experience tells most of us that God was indeed telling the truth. But what about those of us who have had encounters with an afterlife experience or a visit from the dead from loved ones, one of these near-death experiences that different people have experienced. Some have written books, there's been movies produced on this. Perhaps you as a viewer have experienced that or have had an encounter and communication with somebody that you have come to believe is a loved one that has died in the past. Why do these things seem to contradict that in which God is telling us in the very first few chapters of the Bible? Well, fortunately, God tells us multiple times throughout the Bible not to believe the serpent's lie, you will not surely die. In fact, God says, you shall surely die, and he surely meant it. And friends, we only have an opportunity in the lesson study as well as some extra text that I'm giving to be able to demonstrate that and show from the Bible some of those clearest texts. But I can tell you, friends, as I've studied this over the years, there are dozens and dozens of verses that tell us that all of us will surely die. And when our breath ends and when our heart stops beating, we cease to exist in a conscious state until, as we quoted from our memory text, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, the Lord himself descends from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ rise first. And then we who are alive and remain will be caught up in the clouds together to meet them in the air, and all of us will be with the Lord at the very same time. Friends, that is the Bible picture that God gives to us from Genesis chapter 2 to the end of the book of Revelation. All right, so because of the fact that the Bible says so much of it, and because it's one that may be new to you, there's just a whole lot of different a scripture that we're going to be going through. So we're going to move this through as fast as possible that we might be able to get you as much of this important information as possible. Sunday's lesson tells us that is entitled The Deadly Consequences of Spiritualism. And the very first text that we're pointed to is Matthew 10 and verse 28. And in Matthew 10, verse 28, it says, "And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear him," that is God, with a capital H, "who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." And so very clearly here, Jesus is saying, listen, we might not be able to destroy the soul, but friends, God is telling us that soul that God made through Adam as he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and then the material matter of the clay and the dirt in which God made the perfect body and mind of Adam sprang to life, and he became a living soul, as it says in Genesis and chapter 2 and verse 17. And that soul, that existence of Adam, can be destroyed for all of eternity by the Lord himself. And this is what Jesus here is trying to point out to you and me. But Jesus was not the only one that taught this. As I said earlier, there is dozens of verses from all the Old Testament prophets, or almost all of them, as well as many of the New Testament prophets that speak on this truth concerning death. In Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 4, it says, "Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine." Okay, again, the Bible writer here is talking about the soul. "The soul who sins shall," well, "it shall die." And so here very clearly, and by the way, this is so important that God repeated again in verse 20. He made the same statement, "The soul who sins shall die, period." And so that sentence is repeated twice in that key chapter of the Old Testament book of Ezekiel. And so as we continue on in this particular subject, we begin to see that indeed a soul is not immortal. In fact, it turns out the Bible doesn't teach any concept that includes an invisible immortal spirit or soul that is naturally immortal. In fact, the Bible tells us something much different. It says there's only one person that has natural immortality innate within himself, eternal life. And that is Jesus himself, 1 Timothy chapter 6. And verses 15 through 16, it says, "He who is blessed and only the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality." And so, friends, we want to underline with our mind that word alone. Jesus alone has immortality. You and I don't have natural immortality. And so, friends, again, the Bible is trying to get us to be able to understand. God wants us to be able to understand that when we die, we go to our rest. As the old saying used to be, and I don't think we put it on any of the gravestones today, but if you go to the older ones, we have that RIP. And that's an acronym. What does it stand for? Well, it stands for rest in peace. And so as it turns out, the Bible here is verifying that that acronym, that statement that we used to put on many of our gravestones was actually theologically and biblically and religiously correct. When we die, by God's grace, we rest in peace. Now, this is why Solomon wrote about this as well. It's another example, one of the clearest ones, Ecclesiastes verses 9, chapter 9, verses 5 through 6. It says, "For the living know that they will die, but the dead know how much? The dead know nothing, friends, and they have no more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also, their love, their hatred, their envy have now perished. Nevermore will they have a share in anything done under the sun." And so there's a number of things that we want to be able to pick up from this very helpful passage. God is telling us that when we are living, we know that we will die. We have a conscious understanding. Why? Because our brain cells are still firing off. But the dead know nothing. They have no more reward. The memory of their love, even their good emotions, have ceased while they rest in peace in the grave in death. Nevermore will they have a share in anything done under the sun, on this earth, in this planet, in the day-to-day workings that you and I experience. And so, friends, it's harder to get much clearer than that, but I know if this is a new concept for you, if you are studying this and being presented with this Bible truth for the first time, I understand that it can be difficult to swallow, especially if you've believed something much different, as most people do, concerning this subject. Isaiah chapter 8, verses 19 through 20, it says, "And when they say to you, 'Seek those who are mediums and wizards who whisper and mutter,' should not a people seek their God?" God says, "Should they seek the dead on behalf of the living? Now, this is an important question. We want to really explore this a little bit with the heart of our study this week. Should they seek the dead on behalf of the living? Should we ever attempt to seek or communicate with the dead? What is the answer? Okay, to the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Now, the law and the testimony that he's pointed to more than anything else is the writing of Moses, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament. Okay, so you have Genesis right through to Deuteronomy. And as it turns out in the book of Deuteronomy, as the lesson study points us to, it tells us in the 18th chapter of that book that God very clearly forbids his people, forbids all his believers from attempting to communicate with the dead. Very clear prohibition there. Again, it's in your quarterly study, Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verses 10 through 11. And so the question is why? Why does God forbid his people from attempting to communicate with the dead? Well, for one, from Genesis onward, we've started to discover that indeed God says that in the day that you eat of the tree, the knowledge of good and evil, and the day that you sin, you shall surely die. From the ground you are, and you will return to the ground. From dust you are, and to dust you shall return. And so that would be the very first important reason why God says we should not attempt to communicate with the dead. But the other reason is that if we try to communicate with the dead and something else communicates back to us, another very important million-dollar question is, who are we really communicating with? Because as we look at this scripture in Isaiah, who's reflecting the other scripture in Deuteronomy 18, verses 10 to 11, which strictly forbids upon death practicing any kind of communication or attempts to communicate with the dead, why, indeed, we are communicating with none other than the opposite force, that which is the powers of darkness, the powers of evil, the army of demons that is led by the master demon, Lucifer, or as he is now rightly titled, Satan or the devil. And so, friends, this is another very key reason why God would forbid so strictly and so strongly concerning this particular subject. Now, I have to say that probably most of us are not guilty in a private, most of us are not guilty of this in a private setting with a professional medium, a seance. I know some of you have. Most of us, I would say, if we did a survey on the street and interviewed 100, there would be far less than 50% that has ever actually addressed or sought out a professional medium, asked for a professional seance to be taking place. But friends, most of us are probably guilty of this in a more private setting, at our graveside of a loved one, perhaps in our bedroom or some private room in our home, in our car, wherever we might find ourselves believing and attempting to have a conversation with somebody that we've loved in the past, family member, friend, and so on, that has died. And friends, this scripture is also addressing that. And it's telling us, listen, the dead are dead. They're resting in peace. And so friends, we need to accept that reality and also cling to the promise that the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. They will rise again. But until then, friends, any attempt at communication or any sincere belief that we have some kind of, even if it's one way, and most of us, let's face it, most of us, it's a one-way conversation. If we're in a car, we're at the graveside, and we believe in our hearts that when we speak out loud, we're having a conversation and our loved one can hear us. That's usually the case for most of us. But for some of us, there has been some communication that has transpired that has returned back to us. And now it becomes a two-way conversation. And friends, no matter how much they look or sound or act like the person that you loved in the past that has already died, friends, that is not your loved ones according to the Word of God. God wants us to know that that person is an imposter. It's an impersonator. It's an imitator of your loved one, and it's not the Lord, and it's not an angel of the Lord. It's a very rebellious, evil demon or fallen angel that is opposed to the Lord and that is opposed to you. And I believe, friends, this is the reason why God wants you to know this truth. Well, let's look at a Bible example. First Samuel chapter 27, and we just do not have time with a lot of time here to be able to go through it in detail. But if you have your Bible, quickly turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 28. It's the most extensive example that we have of somebody in Israel that should have been a believer but started to become a non-believer, that had left the Lord, had found himself in the camp of the evil one. Very quickly, we find that out in verse 3. It says, "Now Samuel died, and all Israel had lamented with him and buried him in Ramah in his own city. And Saul had put the mediums and the spiritists out of the land." Why? Because God forbid it upon death. And this is, of course, back in years past when Saul was faithful to the Lord. Now Saul is up against a problem. He's got an army of Philistines that are ready to take over Israel, and he's terrified. Verse 6, it says, when Saul inquired of the Lord, the Lord did not answer him by dreams, by Urim, or by the prophets. And so any living prophet, God would not speak through to Saul. Why? Because Saul had left the Lord, and God said, well, if you left me, then I leave you. And so he would not honor his attempts to find an answer on whether he should go to battle or not. Well, what does he do? He seeks out a medium in a little town named Endor and hires a professional medium. And he asks for a seance in verse 8. And then he tells the medium, this woman, to bring up Samuel, the prophet who had already died. And of course, prophet Samuel was the one that had communicated God's messages so often to Samuel or to Saul before Samuel died, although not in the last years of Samuel's life either. And so verse 13 says that the woman saw a spirit ascending out of the earth. And what is this form? Was the question of Saul. And he says, an old man is coming up and is covered with a mantle. And she perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed down. Now, it doesn't say that it was Samuel. It said that he perceived that it was Samuel. Now, Genesis, Ecclesiastes, Isaiah, and 100 other texts in the Bible tells us that it wasn't Samuel. In verse 15, it says, now Samuel said to Saul, why have you disturbed me by bringing me up? Now, friends, you want to underline that word up in verse 15 because it doesn't say, why have you brought me down? Now, friends, most sincere Christians today believe and accept the doctrine that is not in harmony with Jesus or the Bible, but nevertheless, very sincere believers believe that when we die, there's a soul, an invisible part of us that immediately ascends to heaven and enjoys a new life in heaven, an immediate reward. Now, friends, if there was anybody that was heaven-bound, it would be Samuel. This is the holy prophet and judge of the Lord that died in faithfulness to God. And yet we don't find that he's calling Saul for disturbing him and bringing him down from heaven, but rather bringing him up. And so, friends, in verse 15, it says, and Saul answered, I am deeply distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me and has not answered me, neither by prophets nor by dreams. And therefore, I have called you, that you may reveal to me what I should do. And so here we have this delusioned, rebellious, disobedient king of Israel that is believing that God is going to defy all of his prohibitions and go through the channel of the devil himself and bring Samuel to life, that Samuel might be able to speak to Saul in messages that the living prophets would not be able to do because God had refused through them. And so, friends, we know when we look at the evidence that this cannot be the actual Samuel and some after-living soul or spirit of Samuel. It is none other than the imposter himself, the devil, and the deceiver of the world. Then we go to Monday, which is death in the Old Testament. Daniel chapter 12 tells us many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life. When is this? Well, the prophecies of Daniel, including Daniel 12, tell us when the Lord descends with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God. And again, in 1 Thessalonians, then the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. And then Paul continues and says, therefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, friends, notice how Paul doesn't say comfort one another with the words of your loved one in heaven immediate reward after death. No, he says if somebody has died in the church, in your family, that has died in faith in Jesus, comfort with the promise and the hope of a future resurrection, because you will see your loved one again, and your loved one will come back to life on that glorious day when Jesus comes in judgment, but also in glory and deliverance for those who are faithful to Jesus. And so the comfort here is much different than the more common search for comfort in the immediate reward and life in heaven. Then when we come to Tuesdays, which is death in the New Testament, again, there's many verses. We don't have time to go through them all. Jesus talks about his friend Lazarus, who had died from a serious illness, and he says that he's sleeping, and he goes to wake him up. Well, the disciples had misunderstood it and thought that he had been snoring, sleeping. But Jesus in verse 13 tells us he spoke of his death. And then Jesus comes right out and says to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Well, it was just a few hours, a couple of days after that, when he arrived in Bethany and came to the tomb, they moved the stone apart, and Lazarus rises to glory, as Jesus says, behold, come forth. 53 times the Bible uses the term sleep to represent death. This is a biblical concept, friends, that God wants us to be able to understand. Wednesday's lesson tells us spiritualism in the last days, and this is, of course, the last 2 days of this lesson study is what is important for us to be able to understand. God has the warnings for us. He performs great signs. He's talking about the Satan again, so that he may even make fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs. Three chapters later, he says in Revelation 16, 14, for they are the spirits of demons, performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and the whole world. And so, friends, God is telling us that the devil is going to jack up extremely, effectively, and openly this imitation, this imposter that is impersonating different dead loved ones from the past and claiming that they have messages from heaven to propagate none other than false doctrine, false religion, and a false version of Christianity. And so, friends, the same demons that were responsible for impersonating many people's loved ones today and communication with them will also be claiming to communicate from heaven. Friends, we want to be part of that last group, as the last day's lesson study points us to Revelation 14, 12, where it says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. And friends, the Bible warns us in the book of Revelation that the devil will do whatever he can to try to break our faith, to get us to disobey one or more of his commandments. But friends, there will be those who will follow the Lamb wherever he goes, that will overcome the Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And so, friends, I want to encourage you to be part of that group as we continue to study the gospel and the truth of Jesus. Thank you so much for joining us this week, and we look forward to having you join us again next week.
Don't forget to request today's life-changing free resource. Not only can you receive this free gift in the mail, you can download a digital copy straight to your computer or mobile device. To get your digital copy of today's free gift, simply text the keyword on your screen to 40544 or visit the web address shown on your screen, and be sure to select the digital download option on the request page. It's now easier than ever for you to study God's Word with amazing facts wherever and whenever you want, and most important, to share it with others.